You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know, on Wednesday nights, it's been great. We've been started out this year talking about teaching on authority, and went from that into the name of Jesus, and we taught on that a couple of months. And then we started teaching on the power of God and the need for miracles in the church. And that's where we are right now, is that we need the power of God in our services, in our lives, in our preaching, in our teaching. See, this is something that separated Jesus from other religions and other religious teachers. Of course, he was the Son of God. We know that. But he had power. In other words, I mean, he healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils. People got delivered. I mean, people that were hooked on alcohol and drugs and prostitution got set free. People that are dead were raised from the dead. And then he turned that over to his disciples and told them to do the same thing, turned it over to the church. And I think in many cases, and God bless churches, we are pro-church. I don't say anything I say competitively or denigrating or belittling or think we're A-rate Christians and other churches are B-rate Christians. Get that out of your thinking. There's people that have a deeper understanding of the word and people that don't. But if you're washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, you're going to heaven. If you preach and teach that Jesus is the Savior, you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. We are for that. We are pro-church. But I cannot help but read in the Bible that there's more than just that. That's the greatest thing, no question. There's no greater miracle than that. But God is a supernatural God, and he is a healing God. He's a miracle-working God. And Jesus came and showed us that. And the disciples carried on that legacy, as it were. And the early church continued on the same track. And I don't see anywhere where it says we should tone down on that or leave off that or stop that. We should continue that because we're not a new church or the modern church. We're still the church. The church has been going on for 2,000 years. God really hasn't come up with a better idea. There's still only one way to be saved. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Are you with me? And so whatever day Jesus lived in, whatever day the apostles lived in, whatever day what we'd call the early church lived in, they weren't days of miracles or days of healings. They're just a God of healing, and God has never changed.
That's right.
He's the Lord God. He changes not. Malachi 3:6 and Hebrews 13:8 says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There never was a day of miracles. There was just a God of miracles.
Amen.
And thank God he hadn't changed.
Amen.
How do you know that? You know that from the Word. You know that from the Scripture. And so we can stand on those Scriptures and believe and pray those Scriptures today because they're just as powerful as they were 2,000 years ago. Now, we know that concerning eternal life. We know that concerning John 3:16, Romans 10:9, verses that have to do with believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. We base our salvation on the truthfulness, the integrity, the veracity, the inerrancy. Hello, of God's Word. It has not changed. It's true. You can believe it. Praise God. It doesn't matter whether it was written 2,000 years ago. When John 3:16 is still true today. Yeah. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah, somebody.
Yes.
If you believe on Jesus, you can go to heaven and miss hell.
Glory to God.
Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Man, I've got God's Word on that. That is the Scripture. That is the Word. And sometimes I get up and may not feel saved, and sometimes I get up and feel pretty spiritual. And sometimes I might get up and feel like 500 pounds of sin on a popsicle stick. But the Word hadn't changed. And I can go back to Romans 10:9, John 3:16, and know that I accepted Jesus, and God's not going to renege on this deal, or he's not going to pull back, or he is going to do what he says.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, we know that because the Word says that. But the same Word also says, you know, pray for one another that you may be healed. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. The same Word says he'll give us peace. Perfect peace. Peace that passeth all understanding if we pray. The same Word that gives us assurance of our salvation is the same Word that gives us assurance of the supernatural, the miracle-working power of God. It may not happen overnight. It may not happen right away. You may not feel any different, but hang in there. Keep believing God. God's going to come through. He will not lie.
That's right.
Got one that's right and one amen. So, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what you feel. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what our culture, our tradition is. It doesn't matter what's acceptable or not acceptable. What does matter, though, is what God says. Can we agree on that? Hallelujah. And so if we find in there that God tells us specifically not to pray to be healed, then we would need to stop praying for healing. However, I don't see that. In fact, it's just the opposite of that. He tells us to pray to be healed. He never says give it a shot. He never says pull that lever and hope it comes up triple nickels. He never says you never know. Hey, you know, something might happen. He doesn't talk vague like that. He doesn't talk in chance and gambling like. No, no, he says, look, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you'll have it. That's Jesus. He said it at Mark 11:24. He also said in Matthew 21:22, he says, all things you ask in prayer believing, you shall receive. Everybody say, believe it. Well, there's the rub right there. You know, all of a sudden, now the monkey's off God's back and it's on ours. You know, we just hadn't been believing like we should, and none of us are perfect, and none of us are, you know, we're not going to walk out of here and be Superman and get everything we pray for. Stay with me. But it does take that responsibility off God, where God always does the right thing and always does what he says. We're the ones that need to work on ourselves. We're not putting God in a box, and we don't have him. We're not pulling levers and pushing buttons and making God move. No, I'll tell you who's in the box. We are. We're getting out of the box. Faith doesn't move God. Faith moves us. Praying and confessing the word doesn't change God. It changes us. It changes our situation. It changes our circumstances. But it doesn't change God. God forever eternally is a Savior. And forever eternally he is the healer. Are you with me? And forever eternally, he is the life giver, and he is always on.
That's right.
We're the ones that are off. And so when you flip that faith switch on, you flip yourself on. You get back in the flow. See, the water's running. The faucet's turned on. You need to get under the spout where the glory's coming out. See, you're just over here, and it's over there. He's flowing down this way, and you're over this way. And you get in position. And as we pray and as we believe, we get ourselves in position. You know, God's always been a Savior, but you didn't get saved until you called upon Him.
That's right.
Until you accepted Him. You could have got saved a long, long time ago. You just waited too long. I don't care when you got saved. You waited too long.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I'd have got saved earlier. I got saved at 19. That's when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But, you know, and I'm so glad. I thank God I got saved. But I sure wish I'd have been saved since I was a child. I really do. I wish I'd accepted him as soon as I heard about him and found out about him and missed all that life I lived till I was 19 and, you know, the drugs and the jails and all that. But I've got no regrets. I can't undo that. I can't redo it. Forgetting those things that are behind, I press forward to the things that are ahead. I press for the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise God. I'm excited about that. But I know God didn't keep me lost for 19 years. He didn't hold back salvation from me all that time. He was waiting all that time with his arms extended. He was calling me and he was saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'm the one that was running. It, really, we talk about running to God, but actually you just need to quit running from God. You get saved, you quit running from him. The hound of heaven is on your trail. You won't stay still long enough for him to catch you. If you'll stop. Hello. Okay. Man, where am I going with this? Where did I tell you to turn to? I didn't. Oh, so I'm free. I can just preach anything tonight. I like it. Now, I tell you what, turn to Acts 10. Let's just turn there. I think we used that verse the other night, and I want to just kind of track on that thought there. Acts 10th chapter. Stay with me. Run with me. Roll with me here. If you got notes, take notes. If you got your Bibles, follow along your Bibles. And hey, you know, a lot of times you get to minister and you'll say things that just completely new. You know, you go, wow, man, I never thought about that. It doesn't mean it's wrong. Hey, it doesn't mean it's right either. But it may be something you never thought of and you need to check it out. There is a chance that you might not know everything. Slight chance. I figured that a long time ago. I don't know everything. That's why I just keep digging and keep getting in the Word. Amen. But if you see something in the Bible over and over and over, that's a pretty good indication you got a good doctrine, you got a good teaching, you got a good Word. Amen. Because really what matters is what God says in context, over and over, many times. Amen? And then just think about it. It's okay to think. I know the Bible says, I love this, I know the Bible says a man shouldn't think of himself more highly than he ought to think. But the Bible doesn't say don't think.
That's right.
It just says don't think too much of yourself. You know. So, okay, Acts 10. This is a well-known verse. You'll know it, Acts 10, 38. Notice what it says here, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Man, there's so much in there. We could just spend all night on that verse, and I just want to use that as a springboard. Notice it says here that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. See, Jesus didn't come in just word. Jesus came with power. That separated him from a lot of teachers of his day, and it separates him from a lot of religious teachers, rulers, religions, as it were. You know, you take miracles out of Buddhism, you didn't change one thing. There's no miracles in Buddhism. That's just a philosophy of life. Even the Muhammad, the Muslim faith, has no miracles in it. There are no miracles. Muhammad didn't lay hands on anybody. There were no miracles there. You have no guarantee any answered prayers in Islamic faith. I mean, it just means submission. That's what Islam is. Submission. The idea or the concept of God is love is not even in the Quran. Are you with me? But you come along with Jesus now and you follow Jesus and you can't separate the supernatural, the miraculous from his ministry. That just won't fly. As we say in East Texas, that dog won't hunt. Hello. Because he didn't just preach. He did preach, and we follow his teaching, and it's the greatest teaching that ever was or ever will be. He's the Son of God. There's no one that's greater than Jesus in the far as teaching is concerned. But he didn't just teach. He didn't come with just wisdom. He came with power. And you follow him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the shores of Galilee, as he walks the shores of Galilee and the streets of Capernaum, you notice that he not only forgives people and preaches good messages, but he heals the sick and raises the dead, casts out devils, stops storms. Hello.
Amen.
You can't separate that supernatural element. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Everybody say with power.
With power.
With power. I wonder, is our message with power? Is our message with power? Now, obviously, sure, power to change lives, power to deliver people from drugs, deliver people from alcohol, deliver people from prostitution, all these different lifestyles, no question. But there should also be miracles, healing, signs, and wonders. Is everybody going to get healed? No, because everybody doesn't even get saved. I get tickled at people say, well, if you believe that, go down to the hospital and clean the hospitals out. Well, if you believe Jesus saves, go down to the prison and clean the prisons out. Some are going to accept, some are not. Hello. But the fact remains he's still a healer, and the fact remains he's still a savior.
Yeah.
Amen? And one thing for sure, if we never pray for anybody to be healed, we sure won't get anybody healed. No more than you'll see anybody saved if you don't tell anybody about Jesus.
Right.
If you tell no one about Jesus, you'll never see anybody turn their life over to Jesus. Never happen.
Right.
Is it 100%? Of course not. It's not 100%. People's wills are involved. People can reject or accept, and sometimes you're not up to snuff, as we say. And I don't dip snuff. You're not hitting on all eight cylinders. You know what I'm saying here. And eight cylinders is fixing to be a thing in the past too. But anyway. So he ministered, but he ministered with power. With power. Turn over to Luke. Let's just have a look at Jesus here a little bit and go to some other scriptures here. In Luke, the fourth chapter. Boy, this is where Jesus started his ministry. You know that one. And we went into the synagogue in Nazareth, came to Nazareth, and we've been brought up. He went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It was his custom. He stood up and read, and we've read those verses. And this is where all this took place. That's not even what I'm going to read. I'm just giving you some context here. But he started his ministry. He came out of the wilderness, came out of temptation. He was tempted of the devil 40 days. He's hungered, and he was tempted of the devil. He overcame the devil with the word three times. The devil tempted him three times. Jesus said, "It is written." Then he comes into, the synagogue and on the Sabbath, as his custom was. Jesus was a churchgoer. He regularly went to church. And he stood up and he read, and he read out of Isaiah concerning his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor and heal the brokenhearted, and you know, and on and on. So give sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised. Well, anyway, he does that. They're all excited about it. They go out to the Sadducees and plot to kill him. Because everybody loves the fact that you get a hold of Jesus and get a hold of Christianity. Isn't that right? Doesn't always happen that way, does it? In fact, Jesus said, woe be unto you when all men speak well of you. Some will, some won't. But, you know, one thing that matters is that you've done the right thing and God's pleased. Amen. Well, he goes on, he ministers, and in the 32nd verse, notice this, 4th chapter of Luke, says, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. King James, I believe, says power. Now, in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? We know who you are. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. Hadn't been a church service like this in a while. For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. See, there was a difference about Jesus. His teaching had authority. His teaching was matter of fact. His teaching wasn't vague. His teaching wasn't just gray. You know, a lot of preaching teaching today is just kind of a gray area. Well, whatever. You never know what the Lord will do. You know, we just don't know. Things happen in life and God has a purpose and you never know what God's going to do in your life and so on. And maybe you had a bad day, but God's probably trying to teach you something. And maybe you had a good day. Well, you know, thank the Lord for it. But thank the Lord for the bad day too. Thank Him for the bad. Thank Him for the good. No. Thank Him for the good. And if you want to thank somebody, thank the devil for the bad, or thank your own insanity, your sin, or your stupidity for the bad. Okay, don't thank God for the bad. God's not behind the bad. God is good. God's not good and bad. This is not Eastern philosophy. This is Christianity. God doesn't do good and bad. God does good. Woe be unto those, Isaiah says, that call evil good and good evil, that give bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Paul said, and this in Romans, he said this. He said, shall I sin that grace may abound? Shall I do evil that good may come? God forbid. God doesn't do evil in your life to bring good out of your life. Now, God can get good out of your life if you'll trust Him and believe Him, but He's not the thief that steals, kills, and destroys that Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes, steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. So here we have Jesus speaking very authoritatively, very positively, and then demonstrating it. I mean, actually doing what he said and actually getting deliverance. And they saw it. So the word didn't come without power. It came with power. Man, God forbid I just have some dry sermon that was spiritually or scripturally accurate and we could give a test at the end. Everybody answer all the questions, but there's no anointing, there's no presence, there's no power. Nothing happens. Nobody's changed. You should come in church and be touched by the power of God. You should be pulled closer to Him. You should be pushed, as it were, closer to Him. Your eyes should be open to the power of God. Listen, I'm not putting my faith in the power of this world. I'm putting my faith in the power of God. I'm not putting my faith in the economy. I'm putting my faith in the power of God. Not a dead word, but a living word. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is quick, alive. It's alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder between soul and spirit, and discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hallelujah. So Jesus' word had power. You know, Jesus would shock us if he were preaching. I think he would just blow us out of the water. The way he talked about God. He was so matter of fact that in the natural it was just scary. He would say things you think, what? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Ask and you shall receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock and the door will be open unto you. Well, if it's God's will. He never added that, did he? He never put that addendum on there or that ending on there. He never said, if it be thy will. In other words, there were things in here that were positive and plain enough that you should know enough to ask for and know you're going to get it. Yes. Obviously, if you ask for something that's sinful or lustful or unscriptural, you're not going to get it. But if God said he'd do it, can you imagine someone coming up here to be saved, sharing the scripture with him, Romans 10:9, John 3:16, and say, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised from the dead, you will be saved. All you got to do is just repent, turn of your own life, turn around from sin. God, you know, God is against sin. But if you'll repent, right now confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, and confess that God has raised him from the dead, two things he says in Romans 10:9, that's it. You will be saved. Can you imagine a preacher saying, let's give it a shot. You never know. God might save you. It's possible he'll send you to hell. But you might as well give it a try because it is what it is. Let's roll the dice. Come on. Let's do it. It could come up. Double sevens. Can you imagine thinking like that? I mean, can you imagine any preacher saying that? In fact, if you were to say, well, I'd like to do that, but I don't know if God will hear me. What? They'd say, wait a minute, can you read? It says right here that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. 10th verse says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The 13th verse says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah. And I'd be shouting with them. That's what the Scripture says. I believe the Scripture. But to add on to that, you never know. You might catch God on a good day. Give it a shot. He might save you. If he doesn't, well, at least you tried. Maybe try again. Go try again later or something. You know, I mean, why would you talk that way about something so plain and so absolute and written in the Word? I want to submit to you, there's a lot of other things written in the Word besides just that. And Jesus, when he walked, I mean, he'd say things just blow you away. It was just so matter of fact about the things that he said. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Ask and you shall receive. Whatever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them and you'll have them. All things that you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. He didn't say, if it be thy will. He never walked up to a cripple, never walked up to a blind person, never walked up to someone with leprosy, never walked up to someone with a disease and said, well, I'd like to pray for you, but I really think in this case, God's trying to teach you something. Now, see, those are not, you don't see that in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. He didn't come along there and say, well, you know, God does heal, but see, God may want you to stay the way you are. He might be working out something with you. And Jesus would deny that person and go to the next person. I don't see that. Do you? I'm just asking you this question. Do you see that? I don't see that. I mean, you can go through there. If you can find that in there, then we'd have something to stand on. But it's not there. Woo. Wow. Because there was power in the gospel. And those that were oppressed of the devil. We just read that next 10:38. And I quoted John 10:10, thief comes, steal, kill, destroy. Now, we've got sickness in the world. I know that. And we deal with these things. I know that. And you are believing many times, maybe you're praying and believing for things in your life that haven't manifested yet or taken place. I'm just saying, don't give up hope. Don't throw hope away. Keep hope alive. You got God's Word on. Let's keep praying. Let's keep believing. Let's keep standing. Let's keep thanking God. Amen. Praise God, it works. Are you going to get everything in your life taken care of? I don't believe that. I just don't think you're that perfect. Hello. You're not going to walk out here Superman, Superwoman. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that God is not at fault here and that God really does want to do these things. And I think the things we really focus in on, really center in on, really believe God for, we're going to get answers for. That's it. But you have to admit as quick as I would that I'm not always as focused on some things as I am on others. I'm not so intent on some things as I am on others. I'm not confessing God's Word and really just bulldog tonight, just hanging in there believing and confessing the Word and trusting God in some things as I am in others. But the things I really center in, I'm going to get some results in because God said that He would do what He said. Because this gospel is with power. Woo! Is this helping somebody? So we know in Jesus' case that it's pretty plain that his gospel is not a powerless gospel. It was a powerful gospel. It had power behind it. Turn with me to Romans 15. This just food for thought. Am I stirring you? I remember one time I was preaching at a Bible school in India. I was in Mamallakara, India. And I was, this is the state of Trivandrum, the lower part of India. And I was at this Bible school was a lot of pastors. And they were more Pentecostal than they were like, now we're Pentecostal in experience. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit and healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. We're not necessarily what would you call old-line Pentecostal, which is thank God for old-line Pentecostal that pioneered and done what they've done. So there's a big camp here when you talk about charismatics, Pentecostals, full gospels. Are you with me? But there are some shades of difference. I was ministering one time in a Bible school, and I was teaching on healing. And I remember I looked at their face. I could see on their faces that I was really stirring them up, but not really in a good way. So my prayer is that I stir you up, but in a good way, okay? If I can get you angry enough to go get in the Word and look it up, then I've done a service. That's what I told those guys. I said, if I made you so mad you can go back and read your Bible, I have done a good job today. Amen? Because you can't go wrong reading the Bible, amen? I mean, getting in the Word, backing up what you believe with the Word, or finding out maybe that you're wrong. You know, I've found out I was wrong about a few things in the Bible. Two. About 10 years ago. Okay. Romans 15. Found it? Now, I think this is fascinating. Paul is speaking. Now, this is, everybody say Paul. This is not Jesus. This is Paul. He's speaking, and he says here, the 15th chapter, he says, 18th verse, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not accomplished through me, in word and deed." In word and deed. So Paul understood that his preaching was important, but what he did was important also. And God accomplished what he did through preaching, and God also accomplished what he did in deed. So he was appealing to both. I'm reminded of Acts, the first chapter. You know how Luke starts that? Luke wrote the book of Acts. He also wrote the book of Luke. He followed Paul around, incidentally. But he started out in the first part of the first chapter, and he wrote to, "O Theophilus, I write this treatise." Theophilus meant friend of God. That's all it meant. He was writing to a friend of God. And he said, of all the things that Jesus both began to do and teach. I love that. Everybody say both. Okay. Both began. Everybody say began. He didn't finish it. He began to do and teach. Now, he finished your redemption on the cross, no question. He finished your salvation on the cross. But what he started teaching, what he started doing, he didn't finish. He just began that. And you know what we've done? We've carried on what he taught, and we still teach what he taught today, but we don't always do what he did. Are you with me? But he did two things. He taught and did. And Paul is saying word and deed. Everybody say word and deed. Okay, and the point of this word indeed, the point of what he said and did is this, to make the Gentiles obedient. In other words, his preaching caused them to come to Christ, and the things he did caused them to come to Christ. So these things that we talk about, miracles and answered prayers and people that get healed and set free, and we hear testimonies about, we've prayed about something and it came to pass. Did you know that's very instrumental in bringing people to Christ along with the teaching? So we need miracles. We need healings. Jesus even said this in the 10th chapter of John. He said, if you don't believe my words, believe my works. Wow. Man, that's pretty strong. He's appealing to his works as much as he's appealing to his word. That's tough sometimes for us to really put a lot of emphasis on the word, but really the Bible is very plain that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Our testimony is a witness. And it brings people to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so here he's saying that through teaching and doing, word and deed, He made Gentiles obedient. You say, what kind of deeds? Well, he says, 19th verse, in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yeah. Fully preached the gospel of Christ. Man, you mean you can kind of halfway preach the gospel? Yeah, I guess so. I guess you could leave parts out of it, and it wouldn't be fully preaching it. I don't want to leave parts out. How about you? I don't want to just pick and choose. Well, I like this kind of stuff here. We're going to kind of have, our church is going to have this emphasis. I think we'll just kind of center in on this part of Jesus. And you see that in churches. Sometimes they preach Jesus saves, and he does, and Jesus loves us, and he does. But then they won't teach on Jesus being holy, and they won't teach on God being against sin. I mean, they'll tell you, you can be saved, and you can receive Jesus, and you can go to heaven and miss hell. But they won't. They'll tell you God loves you, but they won't tell you. Now stay with me. They won't stand up and say homosexuality is a sin, abortion is murder. Now God doesn't hate you. If you repent, He'll take you in. Bring the prostitutes, bring the homosexual, bring the abortionists. If you will repent, God will forgive you and we'll take you in. But you can't just stay and live in your sin. See, that'd just be preaching part of the gospel. That wouldn't be preaching all of it. That'd just be preaching, or you would, preaching part of it. I'd be a preacher and I'd just be peachy, but I wouldn't be, you know. Hello. So, we love you, yes. Is there hope for you? You better believe it. Can anybody come out of their sin? Yes, you can. You can come out of your sin, hallelujah. The gate's open. What are you doing in a prison? But let me tell you something. We're not for sin. We're against sin. And if you're living together, that's sin too. Well, preacher, what is wrong with you? Nothing wrong with me. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I don't hate you. I love you, and that's why I'm telling you. But see, that's you pick and choose, and churches do that. We have churches that are just kind of user-friendly, you know. I think we ought to be. Or seeker-friendly, I'll say that. You know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost seeks and saves those that are lost. Why don't we be Holy Ghost-friendly? That's seeker-friendly. Let's be friendly to the seeker of souls. Let's have a church where the Holy Ghost feels comfortable to move in our services and touch lives. Praise God and grab people and, man, jerk them out of their sin and put a hook in their jaw and draw them to Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! You don't have to compromise to do that. You don't have to be like the world. You don't have to do that, no. And you don't have to compromise the power of God and miracles and signs and wonders. You say, well, they'll think I'm weird. Hey, they think you're weird anyway. Are you with me? I'm not against. We love people. We're for people. Are you with me? But we do believe this. We believe this. And this we must preach. Hallelujah. Amen. We must preach this. And Paul said, he said, in word and deed, he was thanking God that in word and deed he made the Gentiles obedient in mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And he reiterates that in 1 Corinthians 2. This is a verse we've gone over before. 1 Corinthians 2. Turn there with me if you will. Hang in here. Let me hang in here with a few more minutes here. Is this helping you? Yes, I just want to stir you about the power of God. We need the power of God. Yes. We need the supernatural. The real supernatural now. Now, there's the wrong supernatural. There's right supernatural. The real supernatural is biblical, Bible, scriptural. Supernatural. We're not going to be turning pumpkins into coaches and rats into coachmen. That's not going to happen. You're not going to kiss a frog around here and have a prince. You're going to have to go about the real way, ladies. If you want a prince, you're going to have to believe God for one. Pray. Put some makeup on, some perfume. Anyway, okay. That's up. 1 Corinthians 2. Paul says this real quickly because we have read this and gone over it. And I, brethren, first verse, when I came to you, did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Christ, Jesus Christ, Him crucified. Now think about that. He just says Jesus Christ, Him crucified. And yet we know He did miracles, signs, and wonders. He just got through talking about that in Romans. Mighty signs and wonders and gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And all you can do is track with him a little bit here, and you can see in the book of Acts things that he did. But he calls that preaching Jesus Christ and crucified. Hallelujah. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. In other words, with power. With power. I like that. In fact, that's what we're going to call this now. With power. With power. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. With power. With power. Yes. With power. Did you know we've been anointed?
Yes. Yes.
With power.
Yes.
That's why he told us to go lay hands on the sick. That's why he told us to pray for people. See, there's nothing impossible. Don't you give up. Don't you back down. Don't you cower at the need in a person's life. When someone comes up, be quick to say, hey, let's pray. I want to pray for you. Did you know it's not hopeless? It's not over? Did you know there's a God in heaven that loves you and he can do miracles and he will do them today and he can get you out of this mess? Can I pray with you? Hello. With power. With power. Man, I love that. So he says this, in demonstration of the Spirit and in power, fifth verse, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I tell you, when you come to church, you ought to know that you know that whatever it is you need, God's going to meet that need somehow, some way, that he's got the answer for you. Maybe you're going to have to dig. Maybe you're going to have to pray. Maybe you're going to get instructions and get you on the right road. But the road is going to take you to victory, that God is bigger than your need. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your mountain. He's bigger. He's greater. He's more powerful. Hallelujah. Christianity is a powerful truth. It's not a religion. It is the truth. Look at the fourth chapter. I'm stirring myself up. 1 Corinthians 4. Wow, I'm going to have to get another Bible. Pages are starting to come out. Mine lasts about 2 years. I'm rough on Bibles. 1 Corinthians 4:20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Isn't that good? Now, you follow them in the book of Acts. You follow through the book of Acts and you watch what impact miracles made. What impact the healing did. What impact the deliverance did. You know, if this church, been here going on 27 years, if no one ever got saved, if no one ever got full of the Holy Ghost, if no one ever got healed, if no prayer was never answered, you know what? We'd have closed up shop a long time ago. Or we'd have just kept running, but it wouldn't be near as exciting. Or we could have kept going. God wouldn't have been here, but we could have kept it going. Turned it into something beside a church, you know. You wouldn't feel the electricity of the Holy Ghost when you come in here. You wouldn't sense the anointing on the worship and on the Word. You wouldn't be tugged at and slapped upside the head by the Holy Ghost and say, hey, boy, you need to get right. I love that. I need that. I want to come in church and get on my case in a good way. In a good way. Get on my case and say, hey, you're wrong. You need to get right. You need to repent of this. You know what? You need to get closer to me. You need to come in a little closer. You're a little too far out there. You're not as close as you ought to be. You think you're okay, but you're not okay. You need to pray more. You need to come to church more. You need to come in there a little closer. I want to do some things in your life, but see, you're not letting me do that. I need God to do that. I want to get in a church where I'm convicted. With love, yes. I mean, I'm sure he loves me. I know he's for me. I know he's on my side. But see, he wants me to come to him so he can work with me. I can't do anything until I get to him. And if there's no presence, no power in the service, and there's no anointing in the service, then we're just going to hear a good message. We're going to walk out of here and, good message, good preacher, good-looking guy. Well, maybe you won't say that. But anyway, you know, music was pretty good, you know. But no, you walk out of here and you go, man, I tell you, I need God in my life. I need to get closer to Jesus. I am going to get some things straight in my life. I'm going to be a bigger witness. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to seek Him more. That's power. Man, what are you talking about? That's like Peter getting up on the day of Pentecost and preaching and several thousand people getting saved. Somebody hollers out and says, man, what do we do to be saved? What is this? They said our hearts were pricked, they're touched when he got up and preached. That's the power of God. That's what that is. That's different than an average sermon, normal sermon. That's power. That's the anointing. Remember the two that are on the road to Emmaus following? Jesus hooked up with them after the resurrection. Luke, the 24th chapter is where this is. And he appeared to them, but they didn't know he'd risen from the dead. And they're all upset because they thought Jesus was still dead. And he's all foolish and slow to hear the prophets and Moses. And he says that he expounded to them from the scriptures about himself. And they got to their house and they said, hey, you want to come in here and get a bite to eat? They still didn't know it was Jesus. And they sat down at the table. And the Bible says Jesus broke bread and blessed it and disappeared. Better than any sci-fi movie you ever seen. And then it says, those two disciples said, did not our hearts burn? Whew. Burn within us when he spoke. That's the kind of preaching we need. That's the kind of services we need. We need the power of God in our services. We need miracles, sure. We need anointing. We need power. Because, listen, this is not just in word. But it is in power. Amen?